McDonald's is buying back its Israeli restaurants as it faces global boycotts. Good morning. I'm Leanna Byrne and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, and we're live from the BBC World Service. Now, when McDonald's Israeli franchisee gave out free meals to soldiers there, it sparked a boycott in many countries across the world. Now, the fast food chain says it plans to buy back all its 225 restaurants in Israel. The BBC's Nick Marsh is on the story. And Nick, is this ultimately a response to the boycotts?
It is, Leanna, yeah, exactly. You can really see now the implications spiralling in a business sense. I think really the key to understanding what's going on is understanding how McDonald's operates. So most McDonald's around the world, they're actually franchises. So they're run by independent businesses, operators who use the McDonald's brand and the product, but for the most part, they're actually free to kind of operate as they wish. So in Israel, in this specific case, all McDonald's are run, or were run, by a local business called Alonyal. Now, after the Hamas attacks on the 7th of October, McDonald's started giving out thousands of free meals to Israeli soldiers and security forces. Now, that prompted a backlash in other parts of the Middle East and Muslim-majority countries around the world who saw what McDonald's was doing in Israel and started boycotting them. Now, McDonald's knows that what's going on is bad for business. And so what they've decided to do is they are buying back all of these Israeli branches. And now they can kind of say, hey, look, McDonald's under new management in Israel. We're politically neutral. If you've been boycotting us, please come back.
And Nick, did McDonald's give a statement on this?
Yeah, they did. They said that the restaurants, the operations, the employees, they'd be retained on equivalent terms. So no change if you work at McDonald's in Israel. And just in terms of this boycott more generally, in the past, McDonald's has said that they were disheartened and that these boycotts were ill-founded. They said in every country we operate, including in Muslim countries, McDonald's is proudly represented by local owner operators. Now, those local owner operators in these countries where the boycotts are taking place, so like in Pakistan and in Kuwait, for example, they've come out and issued statements and said, hey, look, we've got nothing to do with the McDonald's in Israel. This is a franchise. So trying to distance themselves from what's going on. But obviously in the mind of most customers, McDonald's is McDonald's, isn't it? It's that big American brand, and the intricacies kind of in a business sense, they're not really paid attention to much, are they?
Yeah, exactly. They don't care about the business model of McDonald's. All right, the BBC's Nick Marsh, thank you so much for joining us in Marketplace.
Thank you, Leanna.
Now it's time to do the numbers. Samsung Electronics, it's the world's biggest chip maker, is projecting a substantial increase in its operating profits to $4.9 billion for the first quarter of this year. Chip prices have started to rebound thanks to a boom in artificial intelligence. And Foxconn, which is Apple's main supplier, reported that its revenue for the first quarter dropped by 9.6% compared to last year. Now let's go to Argentina, where it's facing what's expected to be its worst ever dengue season yet. And there's another big problem. There's not enough insect repellent available. Dengue is a disease spread by mosquitoes that can make people very sick, especially older adults. And many supermarkets and pharmacies there are displaying no repellent signs, the BBC's Ione Wells reports.
A vaccine for dengue has been developed, but while its rollout is still in its early stages, most people still rely on preventative measures to avoid the virus. Residents report that it is almost impossible to buy it. The government has attributed the problem to a bottleneck and say it will be corrected in the coming days, though sources at one of the production companies told the BBC shortages were due to a forecasting error. In Buenos Aires, cases have increased by 2,500% compared to the equivalent period in last year's dengue season.
Ione Wells there. Saudi Arabia has been luring in lots of different sports, and now the country struck a lucrative deal to host the Women's Tennis Association finals for 3 years, offering a record $15 million prize pot. It was only $9 million last year, but critics say it's a setback, pointing to the rights of women in the country and the fact that homosexuality remains illegal. The BBC's Sebastian Usher has been taking a look at this.
We've seen this happen with golf, we've seen this happen with Formula One, and we've seen it most notably with football, and now we're seeing it with tennis. The kind of money is going to be the highest that's been paid so far, more than $15 million, and obviously that is very attractive for these organisations, these associations, that when it comes down to it, they're fueled by cash. I mean, it was a very, very traditional Muslim society where women's rights in the way that the West sees it are nowhere near what women expect in the West. There have been changes. There's no doubt about that in Saudi Arabia. Women are now very much part of a workforce. The morality police, which used to roam the streets and keep men and women apart, they're long gone. Many women that I've spoken to in Saudi Arabia are very positive about the changes and feel they can operate pretty much on the same level, if not higher in some cases, than men. That doesn't take away from the fact that there are still rights that women don't have. There was a time when women really couldn't do things without the say-so legally of a male relative. That is changing. It hasn't changed enough. And there are women's rights activists from Saudi Arabia and outside who've been pushing very hard for that. And some of those people have been imprisoned or remain in prison for what they are espousing. It's not as black and white a situation as it's often painted. But certainly in terms of having a women's competition there, there are still big issues.
Sebastian Usher. And finally, we're all familiar with working from home, but what about working from cruise? Richard Branson's Virgin Voyage cruise line is offering a month-long European trip for people who want to work and travel. I wonder if my editor, Joe Critcher, would let me do live radio from a cruise ship. I'm Leanna Byrne with a Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.